Hey, everybody, it's Tatiana, and I'm here on The Tatiana Show, broadcasting from Distributed Markets in Chicago, having a great time, meeting a lot of nice people. And I ran into Adam Perlow, who we've met many, many years ago, and I barely remember it because this space is a whirlwind. But now my memory will be refreshed. Refreshed. Adam, nice to see you again.
Thank you. Nice to see you again, Tatiana.
Thanks for coming on the show. So I wanted to hear about what is Zen Protocol. I know about Zen Cash, but what is the Zen Protocol?
So about 2 years ago, we started to develop, after the whole DAO happened, a better, let's say, paradigm to do, smart contracts and support for multiple assets. So essentially, one of our premises is, first of all, I think that the blockchain is only going to be used for financial applications. I don't think anything else justifies it. And then we saw that Ethereum was like this very generalized virtual machine that's going to allow like any sort of dApp on it. And then you saw the failures that happened with that, that people lose money. So that's how it started, of a platform focused solely on doing finance. And from there, essentially what we have today is we're the first, let's say, UTXO model. So that's like the Bitcoin paradigm that has...
Wait, what's UTXO?
So that's the unspent transaction output. That's just technical lingo for saying it's like Bitcoin. So you have like Bitcoin style stuff, and then you have Ethereum style stuff. And Ethereum style stuff is like virtual machines. So those are like the two main categories. You have UTXOs and you have virtual machines. And everything is a fork of those two in this space. We're essentially the third, which is we're very similar to Bitcoin, but we also have smart contracts and support for multiple tokens. And the way we do that is by essentially being able to calculate the costs of a transaction ahead of time. So if I know how much my transaction will cost before trying to execute it, I can work like Bitcoin. I don't need to have gas and I don't need to have a VM in order to support the counting of gas like Ethereum has, or all the forks of that. So that's what we've built for the past 2 years. We're a team of about 10 people.
Where are you based?
Out of Israel.
Oh, cool.
Out of Tel Aviv. And you can come, you go to our website, zenprotocol.com, use our software today. Launching our Genesis in about a month, and pretty much happy.
Very cool. So how are you liking the conference? You like Chicago?
My first time in Chicago. Chicago's cool. The conference is nice, though. David always has... nice stuff. So yeah,
I think they have a lot of high quality people here. So I'm digging it, and a lot of good old friends.
Yeah. It's nice to see the same kind of like old people, old crew kind of. I mean,
are you calling me old?
No.
On my own show, jeez.
No.
I'm just messing with you. No, it's the OG. That's what we are.
Yes. Yeah.
Very cool. So what are you excited about for this year? Any predictions for 2018 now that we're a quarter of the way in or a third of the way in?
I'd say we are going to, I don't know, it feels to me like 2015 again, you know? It's like everyone's going to sober up. That's to me my gut feeling says, so I'm very bearish, but everyone around me is super bullish, so I don't know.
I'm to the wrong place, my friend. I'm on the bull team.
You're on the bull team. What are your predictions?
I'm going to predict that I'm not going to sell my cryptos, even if they go up higher. That's my prediction.
Fair enough.
Awesome. So one more time, where can people check you out, Adam?
Just go to zenprotocol.com and yeah, come to our website. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone. Adam Perlow. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Tatiana Show. It's a special edition from Chicago, Distributed Markets Conference. My friends over at BTC Media put this on, and I was really happy to come out. I've got the Let's Talk Bitcoin 5th Anniversary Bonanza that Andreas and the team put together here out in Chicago on Wednesday. But Monday, here I am down at Navy Pier and making new friends. One of them is Aisha Kiani from Republic Crypto. We met at Rozek's lovely dinner party yesterday, very briefly, unfortunately, but today we had a good chat, and we were lamenting the torture of the travel for the ladies. But we're not going to talk about that because everybody knows how hard it can be to travel. We are going to talk about Republic Crypto, so maybe you could give us a little bit of an overview and an introduction. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. So Republic Crypto is a fundraising platform for companies to raise from their unaccredited investors through a RegCF offering, which means that they can raise up to $1.07 million from their unaccredited supporters who don't have the opportunity to do otherwise through a Reg D or a private sale offering.
Wow, that's interesting. So how did you get into that space? Because we were talking earlier and your company didn't have everybody in the crypto space. So I'm a little confused. How long has the company been around for?
So Republic itself has been around for 2 years. We're a crowdfunding platform for companies to raise capital from, through crowd. So equity side has been around for a while, almost 2 years or so. Crypto just came into play almost 4 years, 4 months ago. Our first project was Coin Props, which we did in conjunction with Coinless. So Coinless launched their Reg D and we launched the Reg CF, and that's how we were born. So
you're operating out of New York. Isn't that sort of a difficult place because of BitLicense and stuff to do this stuff?
We don't have that. I mean, we're not selling.
Fall under that?
It doesn't, no.
Okay, cool. Great.
And then we do have an office in San Francisco also. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, presence-wise, we're okay, but no BitLicense issues.
Great. So what do you think of the conference so far?
I've been having a lot of fun. I got some work done, too, which is a good thing. It's very well-organized. I think great quality of speakers, and everyone seems to be having a great time.
Yeah, I think so. So what are your exciting kind of benchmarks over the next few months? I mean, what do you have coming up for Republic Crypto and anything else?
So we're growing as a company. We're launching a couple of exciting deals, which we're looking forward to. We're also looking into different kind of regulation offerings. So, the thing is, at the end of the day, we want to be a platform that's able to provide a good regulatory support to all of the companies that are looking to do a token sale, right? So, and Coinless, being our sister, has the accredited guys covered. Now, the thing is, as SEC provides more and more guidelines, more and more investor pools start building up, more and more games come into play, we're trying to keep the unaccredited guys as covered as we can.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad to hear you're on the case. If people want to catch up with you, where can they find you?
I will be inside enjoying the happy hour.
Okay, but what about the website?
Sure. So Republic is www.republic.co, and you will see crypto right on the top right-hand corner.
Wonderful. All right, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Hi, everybody. This is Tatiana Moroz, and welcome back to the Distributed Markets special episode of The Tatiana Show. I'm here with my friend Ryan Anderson from Kraken, and he was so kind and wonderfully warm and inviting. He took me to the Matt Rozak dinner yesterday, and we had a really cool time catching up, talking about old Ron Paul stuff. But you've evolved. You're moving into Bitcoin. You've been at Kraken for a while. Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. So, Kraken's always been great. It's, always about the people and the culture. We're looking to hire massively this year. Looking to bring really talented, good people to our team. Yeah.
Well, what I really liked about our conversation was that you guys were kind of looking for people that had a similar ideology. And as the space evolves, there's a lot of new people, and that's okay. But a lot of us have our heart with liberty. So I think that's really neat. And, Jesse is always kind of speaking out in the media and stuff, just in favor of individual liberties and stuff like that. So I think that's really neat. What kind of growth have you guys seen, though, over the past few years? And how are you planning on filling all of that,
We can never get enough developers. So if you're a software developer, take your pick. There's many teams at Kraken. But we also need accountants, customer service, client engagement, account managers, compliance is big as well, too, as we know with the ever-changing regulations in our space.
Yeah, so that's been a little bit challenging for people, so I don't know how to really resolve that one, but I guess we'll see how the market plays out, right?
Right, yeah, so just trying to stay one step ahead of the regulators and everything, so getting the right people that know all the bells and whistles of compliance.
Right. Well, you got to comply, otherwise you go to jail. So tell me, what do you like about the conference so far? What's been your favorite thing? Any kind of highlights that stuck out to you?
Just the energy. It's, good people here. Obviously, catching up with people all over. I'm, based here out of Chicago, but seeing, people like yourself and, good friends of the industry around. don't know. It's I just there's really good energy too. Like, what's the next step for crypto? So hearing different viewpoints about that, and it's kind of a vague answer, but you know, no one knows where the next step is.
Well, this is why we all get together, so we can talk about it, work it out, and, you know, hash things out.
Right, yeah.
Okay, awesome. Thanks again. What's your contact info for people if they're interested?
People can find me on LinkedIn. I'm a recruiter, so I'm very publicly facing. It's Ryan Anderson is my name. It's Anderson with an S-E-N. Just shoot me over a note. I'm, you know, heard you on the Tatiana show, and, you know, we'd love to...
You'll know that they have very good taste.
Right, right. we like people passionate about the crypto space. We like just very smart, humble people. And if that fits your bill, you know, we'd love to have you at Kraken.
Excellent. Very cool. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show. And I'll hopefully see you a little bit more later on tonight.
All right. Thanks, Tatiana.
Thanks.
Take care.
Hey everybody, it's Tatiana and welcome back to the Tatiana Show. We have a special edition today from Distributed Markets out in Chicago, talking with different people here at the conference. And one of the new people that I've become friends with is Maxwell Sanchez. Maxwell is working on Veriblock, which is a proof of proof, which was a concept I had never heard about and now I vaguely understand, which is a miracle. So that's been really fun. I've been learning all about it. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Very good. So, you know, tell people out there, what is proof of proof? And tell me a little bit about your project. We'd love to hear it.
Sure, I'd love to. So proof of proof is a new consensus protocol that Justin Fisher and I invented a little over 2 years ago. And what proof of proof allows you to do is to take any blockchain, regardless of the consensus protocol it uses. You've heard about proof of work, proof of stake, proof of capacity is one of the ones we're really excited about in 2018. No matter what consensus protocol any blockchain uses, and they might have a block time of 2 minutes or five or 10 or 50, however they're architected, they're able to inherit the full proof-of-work security of a highly secure blockchain like, for example, Bitcoin. So right now, Bitcoin has more computational power than 500 of the world's top supercomputers combined, and blockchains that are just starting out might have 10 GPU miners in their bedroom, and so, or a few members participating in proof-of-stake. And so these networks, as they're starting out, or even as they've been out for years, but they have less adoption than Bitcoin or some of the other very, very large blockchains, they're able to use this process to inherit additional security to protect their network against people doing malicious activities on it, like double spends and other types of consensus attacks.
Wow, that's really neat. So I'm not trying to be a jerk, but you're very young to have gotten into this space. It's pretty cool. How did you get started?
Well, thank you. So I got started in late 2011, early 2012, when I first started really hearing about Bitcoin and dabbling in blockchain technology. Later in 2012, I started really taking it seriously. I started off by writing some mining software, optimizing GPU miners, writing user interfaces, which were terrible, but worked nonetheless for managing mining software. I wrote some other sorts of small utilities for the space. And then in 2014, I started a project called CureCoin, which was and still is a blockchain platform which incentivizes people to do computational research for universities, doing protein folding or other sort of biomedical simulations. Stanford University was the first project we worked with there and the one that we're currently working with. And that evolved into me doing a really deep dive on what proof of work is, how it functions, and why it is so important. And that led into, in 2015, early 2015, I met Justin Fisher. And so we started on a project called RenderCoin in the early days, which was taking something similar to the CureCoin model for protein folding, but doing it for video rendering for movie studios. And the idea had some problems, and so we moved on to something called Blockchain of Custody, which was digital custodianship of evidence for law enforcement, 911 calls, things of that nature, on the blockchain to prevent evidence tampering. And that idea we decided is probably going to be commoditized, and we still have some ideas in that space to work on, and the brand is still alive, and we are launching something under that brand name at some point. But that evolved into, well, if you can take, you know, a digital photograph or a digital video and timestamp it to a blockchain and inherit that blockchain security, why can't you do that with a blockchain? Because a blockchain really is just digital evidence. And so for the next few months after having that epiphany, we started working on how to actually create an incentivization model where we could incentivize people on their own to invent a new form of mining, which allows them to secure a blockchain to another blockchain, such as securing some sort of altchain to Bitcoin and therefore inheriting Bitcoin's proof-of-work security.
Wow. Sounds like quite an exciting thing. What's your favorite thing about working in this space?
The space, there's a lot of really cool people in the space, a lot of characters, a lot of, they always keep it interesting. And another thing that's I've always enjoyed about the space is people really love to teach. And there's always, you know, you get all kinds, but generally speaking, people who have really cool ideas, they want to share them and they want to educate people about them. And it's a really good atmosphere for learning. And it's not always perfect, but there's always an opportunity to talk to people about technologies and collaborate on a lot of ideas. And open source certainly hasn't done anything to hurt that. So
wonderful. Well, listen, I think you're scheduled on an official show the next week or so. So we'll get a chance to talk about this more. But thank you so much for joining me. In the meantime, how can people get in touch with you and find out about more about Veriblock?
Sure. So Veriblock, if you want to follow the project, you can go to veriblock.org. That's our community website. We're also on Twitter under the name @Veriblock. And you can also reach us on our Telegram channel, which you can access from veriblock.org. If you want to stay in touch with the latest development updates and participate in our current testnet that we're running. And also, there is a Bitcoin talk post called Veriblock, and it's by me. I'm on the forums of Vorkshulk, V-O-R-K-S-H-O-L-K.
Excellent. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tatiana.
Hey everybody, it's Tatiana coming to you from The Tatiana Show. I am here in Chicago for Distributed Markets, put on by my friends at BTC Media. Love that team over there. And I'm here with my friends at Let's Talk Bitcoin for Andreas's event. But in the meantime, I'm catching up with both old friends and new. And a new friend is Liz Wald. She's the Chief Operations Officer at Taurus Alliance. And we met very briefly yesterday at the Matt Rozak dinner. But today we're getting a chance to talk a little bit more. So thanks for joining me on the show today.
Thanks so much, Tatiana. Great to be here.
Awesome. Very cool. So tell me a little bit about what it is that you're working on in blockchain.
Sure. So in a nutshell, we want to reward human interactions. We want to be able to say, hey, I'm a person, I have opinions and I know things about brands and I share those things. And right now, all that economic value I create goes to an intermediary, like a Facebook or a Google or someone like that. And we think people should be rewarded for that should they choose to share it with them, with the brands and with friends. At the same time, we think brands should be able to create tokens where it's kind of like the new age baseball card or a new age frequent flyer mile, where they can have a direct relationship with individuals based on the actions that individuals take. So whether you're a lifestyle brand and have a product, or you're an entertainer, an athlete, or a team, there are really cool ways to interact with customers of yours directly. And we think that blockchain and the underlying technology and individuals having their own profiles is a way to kind of bring those things together.
Very cool. Okay, so I don't know if you know my background, but I created the world's first artist cryptocurrency.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, so that's why I was kind of intrigued about the idea based off of the fact that we'd been trying to solve this problem for a little while, so that's really neat. What kind of blockchain are you guys using? How are you approaching it?
So we're,
and are people open to it, right? Because it was a little bit of a, like a, I don't know, there were a lot of hurdles along the way. Do you feel that the audience has matured and they can kind of start going along with Bitcoin and blockchain and all that stuff now?
Well, I think there's two things happening. One is companies spend a ton on loyalty programs today, right? And they're always looking for new ideas and new ways to engage with people. So I think you can open the door to the conversations coming at it that way, saying, hey, you spend a lot on loyalty, you're putting a ton of money into platforms. Are you really getting the return you want? So that's one side. The other side is everything that's been happening lately with people feeling like, hey, all my data is getting sold and resold and I don't know where it is and all that kind of thing, is I think giving people a new understanding that they have value. And, you know, they don't want to have a complicated technology product to earn that value, but they want to have a way to plug in easily. And I think the timing is here. We're very early in our stages. We've got our white paper, we're talking to Block, we're thinking about what's the right blockchain for us. But we think the timing on the brand side and the person side is there. And so we're hoping, with people like you giving us some insights and sharing your path, that maybe we could all come together and make this happen finally.
Yeah, well, I think it's definitely a hot time for sure. So if people want to catch up with you and find out more, how do they, you know, where can they read the white paper?
Sure. So we're at Torus, which is T-O-R-U-S, which if you Google it, it's a pretty cool sort of circular energy force.
Nice.
TorusAlliance.io.
Excellent.
And I'm Liz at TorusAlliance.io.
Very good. Well, hopefully I'll be seeing you in New York. Those New York gals have to stick together.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me and enjoy the rest of the conference.
Absolutely.
Take care.
Hey everybody, it's Tatiana from The Tatiana Show, and I'm coming to you from Chicago. The Distributed Markets Conference is filled with awesome, fun, new friends. And one of them is Bharath Rao, who I've heard is very smart and very cool, and I'm going to learn why in about 2 seconds. He's from a company called Leverage, and he's the CEO over there. And thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely thrilled to be here.
Great. So tell me a little bit about what you're doing at Leverage.
So at Leverage, we are building a decentralized exchange, which is also leveraged in the sense we can do futures and we can do risk management on decentralized. So that's essentially our product.
So let me ask you a little bit about decentralized exchanges. I've heard that some exchanges are they are saying that they're decentralized, but they're not really decentralized, and they're basically like an order book. Can you tell me about how yours would be different from any other decentralized exchanges and how that works a little bit more?
So the key value of decentralization is really your ability to control your own money. Everything else is just a topology or a technology use or some sort of protocol that doesn't actually add value to the trader. The trader values the security of their funds and the privacy of their financial actions. So what we do is we decentralize custody, and everything else, the order matching itself is centralized. This allows us to create it at high speed and still give users 99% of the value of the decentralized exchange.
So what is on the, what's the timeline? Like, where are you guys at with the project right now?
We are hoping to launch by the end of May, which is just a few weeks away.
Wow, that's exciting.
It is.
Like always a little bit scary coming up on that. So how's the reaction been? Have you been, you know, doing a lot of conferences and stuff? Or
we just started with a few conferences, and so far the reaction has been very positive. The problem with decentralized exchanges is, one, the UX is pretty bad, actually. The delays are intolerable, there are fees to cancel, there's no liquidity. And we are trying to, we are hoping to solve all of that. And the way we do that is we have instant finality, we do most things off-chain, and we have relationships with market makers. So, you know, we are hoping that this will start the decentralization revolution.
Excellent. Anything from the conference that stood out? What do you think of Distributed? Is your first distributed conference?
It is my first distributed conference, and I like the fact that it's a medium-sized conference with very interesting people. The panels and all the speakers are very high quality.
I agree.
And, you know, including Tatiana.
Oh, see, he's just buttering me up, everybody. But gosh, this guy has such good taste. You know what I like about David is that there's all these new conferences coming out, but the BTC media team has been around for such a long time. You know, they really know the space so well. They can kind of cut through the BS. A lot of the conferences now I'm seeing are basically, you know, ICO bonanzas. And that's okay. I like ICOs. I think they're cool. But when it becomes just a bunch of pay-to-play, I don't get that vibe here, which is nice.
Exactly. The, you know, quality of the attendees also is pretty high. And the issue with just doing ICOs is that they are all very similar in many ways. You have 10 basic ideas, and after a while it gets old. You go to the different conferences and hear the same things.
Well, you're not going to get bored here, I'll tell you that. Plus, Chicago is a really nice town, and it's a beautiful venue. Navy Pier is good.
I have to agree. And I tried the bison burger. It was fantastic.
Oh, very cool. All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. If people want to find out more, where can they go and connect with you?
They can go to leverage.io.
Leverage, wait, spell it for me.
L-E-V-E-R-J.
Okay. See you guys. You better get that right. Okay. Very good. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Tatiana Show. This is Tatiana Moroz, of course, who will also be hosting this show. I know sometimes it's Josh, but he's not lucky enough to be with me here in Chicago, where I am for the Distributed Markets Conference. It's my first BTC Media Conference, and I got to say, I'm digging it. I'm making nice friends. And one of them is Russell Feldman. He's the Chief Business Officer at Bond One and also in New York. Clearly the greatest of all places, except for, you know, some regulatory constraints we're working through. Russell, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here, and I'm excited that I, too, live in New York. It is a beautiful place, and there is nowhere better.
Okay, I actually live in New Jersey, but we'll keep going with you.
Wow, let's play right through that.
I know, yeah. Keep moving right along. So tell me, what is Bond One?
Yeah, great. Thanks for asking. Bond One is a blockchain-based debt project. We are trying to connect the bond market and the blockchain.
Time out. What is a bond for people that perhaps don't have a finance background?
Sure. A bond is a loan. So I need $100 to open up a lemonade stand. I can go get a loan from you for $100, but that is contingent on me paying back the loan and me paying you some interest on this loan. So I pay you $1 a day every day that I don't give you back the $100. At the end of the week, I'll give you $100, so you've made $107 in total.
Okay. And is it only, like, are there all different kinds of bonds?
Absolutely. Although I'll admit part of our project is to standardize these bonds to try to make things a little bit more easy for consumers like you and me to understand and be able to compare and analyze the differences between these types of loans so that we can make educated investment decisions.
Okay, so basically Bond One is assembling a bunch of different bond options, or tell me more.
So let's get into it a little bit. So we believe that the market today has become incredibly complicated, and it is the market structure is so old school. 80% of the U.S. corporate market still trades telephonically. It's ridiculous. And so what we've found is that with automation and with artificial intelligence, we can streamline and standardize a lot of the structures in the existing bond market to create efficiency, to create additional transparency for the issuers, for the investors, and most importantly for the regulators. And all else equal, we can create more liquidity in the markets.
Excellent. So who's on your team? Why are you guys qualified to do this?
Great question.
Why should I trust you?
Thank you for asking. Yeah. So we are a team of entrepreneurs. We own a business called CBX Market, which we started 4 years ago to do just what we're doing now, essentially to create transparency in the fixed income markets. CBX is a fixed income portfolio management and market research platform for advisors and asset managers. We really wanted to promote transparency, to show prices for bonds as they trade. You can pull up a stock graph for Google today on your phone, but you can't do the same for a bond. So we're really trying to change that. And as we were doing that, we stumbled across blockchain. And we said, okay, this is an even better mousetrap that helps us solve the same problem. So in conjunction with CBX, we've launched Bond One, which will work off of some of the same platforms that we've kind of put in place already with CBX.
Great. So where are you guys at with the project?
Very early stages. We are still working through the white paper. We finished the white paper, but we are getting kind of confirmation from our legal that we're good to go there.
That can be tough.
It can be very tough. A lot of red lines.
And expensive.
Let's not talk about that. It's a little depressing. So we're starting a fundraise on July 1st that we are doing offshore. Being compliant is incredibly important to us. And unfortunately, given the regulatory climate today in the U.S., it's hard for us to know if we're going to be compliant. So we'd like to delay our U.S. fundraise, and we're going to fundraise outside the U.S. starting July 1st. Myself and my partners are taking some trips to Europe and Asia to take in the scenery and to talk to investors.
Very cool. Well, where can people find out more about the project?
Thanks for asking. Bond.one. Is where you can find anything you want to know about the project. I am available for conversations. My email is rfe@bond.one. Or again, you can just go to www.bond.one.
Excellent. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Tatiana Show, and I'm doing a special broadcast from Chicago for the Distributed Markets Conference put on by my friends at BTC Media. They are also hosts to the LTB Network, so it's extra special getting to hang with my peeps from the LTB crew, and I'm making some new friends. One of them is Rick Dudley. I saw him at the Matt Rozak dinner yesterday, and now here we are. We're going to get down to it. He's from a company called Vulcanize, and tell me all about it.
Yeah, so Vulcanize is a consultancy. We help people with blockchain architectures. So primarily we focus on federated proof-of-stake systems that have some sort of two-way peg to Ethereum or some other chain, like maybe our chain. Right now,
what does that mean? So a lot of my audience members are new to the space,
of course,
and I'm always
yeah.
trying to refresh me. So if you could just explain a little bit, what is a federated system?
So you can look at, unfortunately, there's a lot of factions for such a small community. So in the sort of Bitcoin public permissionless space, those are the terms they use. Then in the private, permissioned, federated consortia space, those are the terms that are used. So, for example, the idea of a private blockchain doesn't really make any sense. Most of the time when people are talking about a private blockchain, what they really mean is a permissioned blockchain. So people from the permissioned space use permissioned. People from the public or permissionless space tend to use the word private because they're being somewhat disparaging. Federated systems just means that you have some number of pre-selected validators or miners who are validating or underwriting the transactions on that network.
Okay, cool. I think I understood that. I mean, I did already, of course. It wasn't for my audience. So you've been an OG in this space. So what have you guys
That's
been working on?
Because
you've been doing a ton of stuff for a long time.
Yeah, so I was looking at creating sort of like digital scarcity or virtual items that were unique by using cryptography. I was doing that in 2007, so that's when I filed my patent, February 2007. So you can look, if you look up my legal name, you can find the patent and stuff. But so that's how I started thinking about sort of digital items and digital scarcity. I wasn't super interested in Bitcoin for a number of reasons that I'll keep it friendly. And then in November of 2014, some friends of mine asked me to evaluate Ethereum. So I went to an Ethereum meetup in New York City where I met Vitalik, Gavin, Yunta, a bunch of the core devs, Joe Lubin. And then I started talking to Joe Lubin more regularly in an attempt to develop my patent, commercialize the patent. That was sort of the hope. And so then in February 2015, I started working at Consensys. But I had a background I worked with people who did high frequency trading. So I knew about low latency networks, high frequency trading. I worked with people who did, fault tolerant, massively write networks like Cassandra, Reoc on the database side. So I knew about Paxos and I knew about Consensys algorithms that were used, in databases. And I was interested in cryptography from the 90s, so I already knew all these pieces. So when it was explained to me, I was like, oh yeah, I was bringing up these questions to them. I was like, well, how do you feel about Paxos? Like, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about that? When I was talking to the Ethereum team the first time I met them. So I'm kind of a late intro. I mean, and I guess I was mining Litecoin at some point. I don't even remember what year that was, but it was before I worked at Consensys. So. I mean, I dabbled in different things in the space, but I wasn't really like serious committed in the space until like February 2015. And then since then, almost all of my work has, with a brief stint some work for hire stuff, it's all been blockchain related since then. And in the last 2 years, I've done over 20 projects. So projects include white paper reviews, mechanism design, writing white papers, sort of like with my name on them and without my name on them, so sort of like ghostwriting stuff. So I do a lot of different things in the space. My main project right now is what I call Byzantine Fault Tolerant Database. So that's different from a blockchain in that basically what we're trying to do is we're trying to add another layer of guarantees and verification on top of a traditional, more traditional massive write database like a Reoc or a Cassandra or a CockroachDB. So we're taking those sorts of technologies and we're integrating that with blockchains, so that what you can do is you can now create a caching layer between the blockchain and your application. So if you have a normal web app, like a normal React-based web app that expects to talk to GraphQL, we expose a GraphQL endpoint, and we have cached. You have a normal database, enterprise database infrastructure, you have something called ETL, extract, transform, and load. And so what that does is you extract the data from one database, you transform it in an application, and you load it into another database. What we do is a little different from that. We extract the data from the Ethereum blockchain for the time being, but really any blockchain. You then load that data into Postgres. And then each application developer specifies their own transformation on an application-specific level. Once you've done that, you now have a caching layer between that application's end users and the blockchain, which improves performance. I mean, literally searches that might take weeks can now happen in seconds. I mean, these are literal time differences. Like, when you run certain searches on the Ethereum blockchain, it can take, on a normal machine, an extremely long time, both to sync the chain and then to actually run the search. We get all of that just using traditional database techniques, nothing crazy, no magic. We can get that down to a fixed time of a couple of seconds or less, like sub-second result times. And then once you have that cache, that individual cache, as a standalone instance, we can then use consensus technology, Tendermint in this case, to then federate those. So there's a step in the middle that I left out, which is that all the result sets that are stored in this database are now also content addressable. Because the data that we started with is hashed data, we can now verify that data in a cryptographic way. And so what that means is that you can now federate and potentially monetize the transfer of this data between people. So if you want to, so there's a concrete example, because this is somewhat, I just jumped right into the weeds there, but a concrete example of this would be, I'm trying to think of someone that's not a client. Let's say you had some pictures, and you, like a lot of pictures, and you wanted to monetize those pictures. You could create a system using this model where you had a smart contract on Ethereum that gated the payment for those pictures through a web app. Mm-hmm. And that cache would be very efficient. It would be like a normal CDN, except now that CDN can take payments via Ethereum. So people would pay per byte. So that's an example of the type of system that's possible on top of Vulcanized DB.
Wow, that's really neat. Did you get a chance to talk about it at this conference, or where are you guys at, like,
no,
in terms of sharing that with people? Are people able to take advantage of that yet? Or
Well, the code's open source, okay. So the code's at github.com/vulcanize/vulcanizedb, and you can, you know, it works. Not all the pieces that I described now are written. I mean, but we're writing them all. We have, you know, it's based on client demand. So as the company's clients request features, we add them in. And so the monetization piece will probably be handled in the future by other projects. VulcanizedDB will sort of be focused not on the monetization layer. We're going to be working below that layer, again, servicing clients. But yeah, so that's where you can learn more about it. Unfortunately, I'm not a great documentation writer, so we're very light on the documentation. We have a Gitter channel. You can get in the Gitter channel, it's a public channel, and talk to us and ask us about stuff. And we're going to be building some demos pretty soon. So we're going to build a decentralized or federated block explorer, open source block explorer, because there's a lot of demand for that. And so I'm going to start working on that.
Wow, you're a busy guy.
I mean, that's not half the stuff I do, but... Well, that's about half of the stuff I do.
All right, I like knowing at least the half. We'll have to catch up again and do the next half.
Yeah.
Are you in New York too?
Yes.
Ah, this is where all the cool people are. I'm giving Crystal a look. She's like, no.
Where are you?
In New York. Oh. Well, actually, I'm in New Jersey, so, you know, I'm
just, you're
like,
close
pretending.
To cool.
I'm close to cool. There's still time for me to improve it. Thanks so much for coming on the show. Oh. I hope we can link up again.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, bye.
Hi, everybody. This is Tatiana, and welcome to The Tatiana Show. We're doing a special episode today from Distributed Markets out in Chicago, and I'm here with a new friend of mine, Constantine Richter, who's one of the sponsors of the event, and he's also the CEO and one of the founders of Block Daemon. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
So what do you think of the event so far?
I'm super surprised how well it is going. I always told my team, we're actually here with 10 people, that Distributed is the highest quality event I know in the ratio between attendance and seniority of people. So I feel like it's a fairly small event that has a lot of very meaningful people in crypto attend. So it's a great time to connect to some real thought leaders in the industry and actually get to talk to them rather than, you know, some of the much, much bigger conferences now that are very in-person.
Yeah, I agree. This is, I think, my first conference put on by the Distributed brand, and I was noticing that the quality of the projects and the quality of the sponsors is very, very high. So yeah. I'm enjoying it very much. But tell people a little bit about what you're doing at Block Daemon.
Sure. So Block Daemon is a nodes as a service infrastructure company. We started building Block Daemon last year while working on projects like Poet and Mad Network, and deploying physical nodes. And we realized that technically it's pretty complicated to spin up a node, which is a transmitter, into a blockchain. So it's kind of the stilts a blockchain sits on. And that it's hard to actually connect to a node for a developer, even a good one, to do it easily. And so we built Block Daemon really to facilitate simple deployments and connections into blockchains, so that a developer who might have a little experience with a cloud deployment can apply the same principles in a blockchain deployment. So we're the pure, you know, like sort of sticks and shovels. Like we're kind of, we also run our own infrastructure. We're multi-cloud. We're integrated in all the big cloud providers, Amazon, Google, Microsoft. And one of the big things we do is we believe that when projects deploy blockchains, they normally do it on something like Amazon. So they have a whole network of nodes that are supposed to be decentralized, run on one cloud infrastructure, which goes really against the sort of premise of decentralization. So we also have a network management tool that ensures that all of your nodes are distributed across all different cloud providers.
Wow, that's great. That sounds, is anybody else doing anything like that?
I don't think so. Amazon just announced on Friday an Ethereum deployment tool. We run Ethereum deployments for a while. And obviously, they do it in a closed loop, Amazon only. We lock you into a sort of Amazon environment. And so that's the only comparative solution I've seen, mainly because all the blockchains are so ideologically verticalized. And they are very inwardly looking. So they all iterate around their own functionality. They don't think about the underlying infrastructure as much as they maybe should.
Okay, cool. Very interesting. Is that what you talked about at the conference today?
Yeah, I was talking about cryptocurrency infrastructure. And what that means is kind of the stuff on what happens if all the projects that were supposed to go live on Ethereum with ERC-20 tokens actually come live at the same time. Ethereum would blow up and none of the blockchains would work. And so how do you actually build scalable infrastructure underneath the blockchain and within a blockchain to achieve functionality that can be in any shape or form comparable to something we can do on the internet or the cloud? It's still very, very early days. We see the dysfunction of blockchain very clearly, technically. And so we talked about how to enhance throughput. That's a very common subject in blockchain when people say, oh, Bitcoin, you know, can handle 5 transactions per second, maybe Ethereum does 15. How do you get that up to 1 million? You know, like, what would that infrastructure look like? And so sort of dreaming a little bit about, like, how do we make the promise of blockchain come true with, you know, good energy consumption and infrastructure that's actually manageable. Decentralized applications are very difficult to deploy and manage because they're decentralized. It means a lot of different people are connected to it, and they might all do it in different ways. And so we currently don't really have anyone providing holistic solutions to allow you to do that, and that's the market position where we've been taking.
Excellent. I'm an artist, and I created the world's first artist cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. And I did it with Adam from Let's Talk Bitcoin, and that connects back to, of course, our friends here at Distributed with Poet. Mm-hmm. And now, full circle, you were working with Poet. So I haven't really gotten to explore that very much, and I don't know if my audience does, but before we finish up, can you tell me a little bit about that project?
Sure. Poet is the proof of existence protocol. It was the first non-financial Bitcoin protocol that was launched in 2013. It's been around for a while, and it was a little neglected, but dearly loved by the community. It allows you to hash content, creative content, into the Bitcoin blockchain. It's great for a lot of different reasons. First, because it actually uses the Bitcoin blockchain, which I believe is by far the best and most secure blockchain. You know, scalability issues aside, Bitcoin is the real beast, and a lot of the applications work on Ethereum, whereas I think Bitcoin is actually the way to go. And so Poet was one of the first projects that, instead of using Ethereum and smart contracting language, it actually used the physical Bitcoin blockchain. And it's we did an ICO last summer, and the goal of the ICO was a very small one. We really wanted to raise enough money to ensure that a good cohort of developers can maintain the protocol and then continue to open source it. And, you know, we launched a token and everything went a little bananas. I think people really appreciate the pureness of the project. The product was working when we did the ICO. You could hash initially fingerprints of text content into the Bitcoin blockchain, and what it does, it's a kind of think of a sort of creative fingerprint of either a piece of music or a video, or in this first iteration, a text piece that at a particular moment in time can clearly be associated to a unique identity that's yours. So you can say, I've written this article, I can prove that at that point in time, this was the exact structure of what it was. And then if it gets published in another iteration later, you can say, hey, I've had the source of what this is. So really kind of trying to lay claim to intellectual property and how to deal with, you know, one of the things that Bitcoin solves, which is the double spend problem. The biggest double spend. The reason why creative content is so cheap is because, unfortunately, everything's infinitely copyable. So protecting initial source copyright is the only source of income for creatives, and that's what Poet solves, and it's a fantastic group of guys. I was involved very early in the project. I'm still an advisor to the project. I was an active team member of the token raise, and I'm a big fan of Jared, who's now the CEO of Poet, and whoever is a creative person, you should look at Poet, po.et. It's the most expensive Ethiopian URL, actually, but it's a fantastic product, and please engage with it.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for joining me and the audience today. Can you maybe let us know where we can catch up with you, see you at your next talk, a little bit, you know, how can we keep in contact?
Yeah, and so easy, you go to blockdaemon.com, daemon or daemon, it doesn't matter, you'll end up on our site. There's a little chat window with my picture next to it, Constantine Richter. You can type in there and it actually physically pops up on my phone. I try to respond to most people, so that's the best way to stay in touch. We have a public Slack as well. We take feedback from developers around tools they need in order to enhance their development experience. So, if that's of interest, just join our public Slack and, chat.
Excellent. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. To keep